Guys, we're trying something a little fun and new. We had such a good time during our VR episode interacting with our listeners and getting their best definitely dying stories that we want to ask you guys to share any stories you have with us. So if you have any stories about either thinking you were sick and being wildly wrong, or actually getting sick, or a wild injury story. Basically, if you have any stories you would tell at a party, if it was a party full of people who didn't mind a downer story, give us a call at our Definitely Dying hotline. The number is 323-388-3879. I'll repeat it. And that's 323-388-3879. And you can leave your story on a little Google Voice answering machine. And maybe we'll feature it on the show.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that be fun? Hello, I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad. And we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair. And
my knee hurts.
My arms are kind of rash. Is that a rash? But I had Asian food and that makes me feel kind of sick. I got a thing on the side of my ear.
I haven't cried in 3 years.
Welcome back to another episode of Definitely Dying, my friends. Madeline, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay too.
What's going on?
Just that we're back in the studio, folks, after a little holiday weekend.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, it was weird. It was a weird 4th of July, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, I got invited to do a thing, like, to go to, like, a fireworks display kind of thing, like a very large public kind of event. And right before I was going to leave, I was just like, no, I'm not going to anything like that. I'm not going anywhere where the bombers would be. Like, I'm not nowhere, it seems like. Potentially could get lit on fire with me in it is safe right now. And so I didn't. And a big part of it was just like, you know, sort of perusing the social medias and seeing just how divisive of a 4th of July it was. Whereas like we're celebrating a country that could not feel more divided. And it felt very intense, I would say. It sort of felt like, you know, being on one side of the spectrum, being on the liberal side of the spectrum, it really sort of felt like there were all these people on the other end. I was like, it really sort of resonated with me as like this like early stage of a zombie apocalypse kind of thing, where like the, you know, the analogy that I was making was that like these morons from the red
are
eating our brains. Like, you know, just like this idea that all these things that I think to be extraordinarily rational right now, all the things that make me feel like our country is in a bad place, they're so oppositional to what the other side feels. Like that everything that I espouse is what they think makes our country terrible right now. And then that it, and yeah, it just, so I sort of started feeling like I don't want to go out in public because there's a civil war / zombie apocalypse that is happening currently. And I stayed inside the entire 4th of July.
The whole day?
Mm-hmm.
I
ordered food.
I like went to the beach during the day, but I stayed inside at night. I didn't like see any fireworks or anything.
Yeah,
but what I was struck by on social media was, for some reason, I feel like more than any other year, people were really grumpy about fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like I just like scrolled through my feed and people were like, oh boy, with the fireworks. Like everybody was like looking for their hot take on fireworks.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is going on? Why does everybody feel like they need to chime in on like how their dog, like, and I get it, like pets don't like fireworks. Yeah. I've known that for a long time. So many of us have known that for a long time. And also like people were like posting a lot, like chill with the fireworks, which also seems weird because I don't think anybody lighting off fireworks was like reading our friends' Facebook feeds. For some reason, I saw very little political material on social media, on Facebook, but I saw just a staggering amount of fireworks talk.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was so weird.
I saw so much political stuff. So much. Well, one, there was that very big, like, egregious sort of debate over, like, the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, right.
But no, you're right. I also do, you know, and I didn't, you know, I don't go to social media to complain or for the opposite.
Yeah.
But I will say that they were the most aggressive fireworks that I've ever encountered in my entire life.
Well,
like, they were all night.
Yes.
They were constant.
Yes.
I'm not one of those people who ever hears a firework and thinks that it might be a gunshot, but it was like, there was just that part of me that was like, "Yeah, this would be a good time to like whip out a gun and start firing it off at people."
No,
like, it just sort of seems like it was a good year to be violent. In your patriotism.
No, it was. I know, for all the complaining I just did about people being too vocal about fireworks, I did notice there were an insane number of fireworks. Like, I was woken up in the middle of the night several days before 4th of July, like, by fireworks that were so close and loud to my house that they, like, jolted me out of sleep.
Yeah, I could, like, smell the, like, things were burning. There was no question.
Like, someone was setting them off right on my street.
Yeah, yeah,
me too.
I could,
like, see them, like, reflecting off of the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, it was...
It was an intense year.
Weird how many fireworks and how long the fireworks were.
And it's just hard. It's hard to feel particularly patriotic this year. I mean, just in general.
Yeah, that's for sure. But also, I learned for the first time that fireworks a lot of times trigger PTSD for veterans.
Yeah.
That seems so self-explanatory, but, like... Someone told me that for the first time, and I was like, "Oh yeah, what a dumb tradition."
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody loves them. It's just like sort of an excuse to like trudge out and sit outside and get bit by bugs for a minute, and then like go home and be like, "Well, I guess we did something."
Yeah,
yeah.
That's 4th of July.
Yeah, that is what I feel about 4th of July.
It is. I mean, I feel like so much of. So much of our social existence is just feeling like, well, I participated in the thing too.
We're in
a good mood.
On that antisocial note, should we start the podcast?
Yeah, let's start it up. Guys, we have just a great guest for you today. We're so excited to have her. She is one of the stars of the new Netflix original series Glow. You might know her from That Is Dawn. You might also know her as Candy from The Apple Sisters. Or maybe you just know her as Rebecca Johnson. Just a great lady. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks.
Hey, Rebecca.
I think I don't know if your listeners know that you have a different podcast voice, Ben.
Oh, do I?
You were just had a normal... talking to me normally, and then you're like, hi.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
No,
great. I never even
noticed.
It's
just a slight difference, but I think the listeners should know.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of a different podcast voice.
Yeah.
I get, like, a little louder, and, like, my husband described it to me. He was like, you really turn it on for that podcast.
You got a lot of energy up there. Yeah. Looks like you're having a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm just really yelling.
I'm 20% more annoying.
I think that's how I feel about myself.
Yeah, me
I think
too.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. So think about like people not looking at you, like, and also just like, I feel like I just click into like some subconscious association with like Z Morning Zoo like radio too, where everybody's just like, look at the traffic. Can you believe it's Monday?
Oh my God. We could talk a lot about the Z Morning Zoo.
Honestly, all I want to talk about most of the time.
We're big drive time enthusiasts here on this
frat
podcast.
Frat boy Greg or whatever. They are the characters.
Greg T. the frat boy.
Yes.
Yeah, he would always be put in an awkward situation.
Greg T.
Elvis and Elliot. And then
and the
queen of smut, Christine.
Oh, yeah.
She had to do the celebrity gossip. She was the
queen
girl.
Of smut.
Yeah. Sludge. That's how they,
the queen of sludge.
Oh, man.
Ask our first question.
Yes.
Yeah, I know you're so used to.
Who was your favorite on Z Morning Zoo?
That's so weird. That transition was great.
Rebecca, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much would you say you think about death?
I think about death, well, like 10 being the most.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
10 being the most. A traditional 1 to 10 scale.
Well, what if it was like 1, I don't know, in what some world. Yeah, why do people ask that? It's always the same answer. I don't think about death that much. No. I try to put it out of my mind. Mm. I try to pretend it doesn't exist.
Oh, wow.
And then when it happens, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. or to someone, never happened to me. Then it's like that jarring realization that it exists.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't think about actual death all that often. So I guess like a 3.
Okay. Oh, that's, yeah. And
I mean, not like a 0.
Right. Yeah. No.
I still have anxiety disorder, so I still have to think about it sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
Well, how much do you fear death? Is that different?
I'm scared of dying, but I still think that I still relate it more to people I know. I'm more scared of people I know dying than myself dying. Because I figure once I'm dead, I'm fucking dead.
Yeah.
Have you had a lot of experiences with death in your life?
Well, when I was like 8, I had like 6 family members die. It was like my grandpa, my grandma, my great grandma, like, and then like 3 other, like, you know, but it was all within the same year. And it was my grandpa and grandma on 2 different sides. And one of them, my grandma had ALS. So that was long, slow, horrific process. My grandfather was like, literally he was retired bus driver. And so he was, his like job after retirement was sweeping up at a funeral home, and he had a heart attack.
Oh.
What?
While sweeping at a funeral home. When it was a big surprise. I was like, you know, see him one day, next day, he's gone.
Was this your grandfather who had been married to your grandmother with ALS?
Two different sides of the family. But it was in the same year.
Huh.
And so that was like the first time when I really was like, you know. And then... Yeah, you just have, you know, through the years, people die.
And have, so you mentioned you have an anxiety disorder.
Yeah.
Is that something that you've had your whole life? Like, were you an anxious kid also?
Yeah. I was an anxious kid. I was always terrified of getting kidnapped.
Oh, wow.
I think part of it was in the 80s. The kidnapping was like all the rage in terms of what we were talking about. Like, and also my parents had us play this board game called Safely Home, which is a board game, but it's like all about how to get safely home and not get kidnapped. And like me and my brother would play this game. And then part of it was like having a code word so that if someone else came to pick us up from school, like we wouldn't go home with just any random person. They were like, even if it's your aunt.
Right.
If it's your aunt or uncle.
No, they were like, if they don't know your code word, you can't go home. And people, would break into, like, I grew up in Staten Island, and there was a period of time where, like, all the houses were getting broken into.
Yeah.
And ours, they tried to break in, but somehow they didn't get in, but we had people sleeping in the basement when they were trying to break in. And then my grandparents' houses had been broken into, so I was just so scared of that, and so... I remember in the summer, I hated being home from school because even though my parents were there, I was still more scared of having all that time in the house, the opportunity for a kidnapper to come in.
Gosh.
Like at that time, I felt like at school, at least I wouldn't get kidnapped. I mean, it was before all this shootings. Then I didn't know that there was like, could be like a violent thing at school. So I was so scared and I would wake up every night thinking burglars broken and I would like hear them. I would hear them playing the piano, even though no one was playing the piano.
Oh, that's crazy.
But I would wake up and hear it. I'd check to see if my parents were dead. Like every night. So I had anxiety about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was always anxious. I remember from a very young age. Isn't it funny when you talk about anxiety that I'm starting to feel pain?
Yeah, definitely.
I hate that.
Do you follow the artist Liana Fink on Instagram? I think she like is... It's spelled in a really crazy way, and I'm going to Google it just because she's she like has a lot of stuff in the New Yorker, and she like makes these sketches, and so many of them are about like anxiety, and she just and a lot of them are just like little like notes that she drew, but they are like she just released a couple like a series of just like entitled just things that make me panic, and it's just like a list
of millions of things,
and it would like it just. I think for anybody with anxiety, it's like, you should look it up and find it because it's like so it just resonated with me in like a deep core way and that's made great. Me like just feel so understood.
I like to think that I had such an active imagination that like naturally before I became an improviser, I was like yes anding my own fears.
Yeah.
Because it would be like I'd think of one thing, and I never saw like Freddy Krueger when I was a kid. I wasn't allowed to watch horror movies, but that almost was worse because then I would imagine what they were.
Yeah, yeah.
So another thing I was scared of was like going into the bathroom at night because I was afraid that Freddy Krueger was in the shower and was gonna like kill me.
Yeah, yeah.
But this isn't like I don't think that happens.
No, that's not like a.
It's not like a thing. But I would be so scared to go in. And so I think that just my once I would think of like one thing like that could go wrong and or whatever.
Yeah.
Would go out of control. Like, yeah. The worst was that I was scared or I had anxiety about ear piercing.
Hmm.
And I would imagine like if anybody talked about getting their ears pierced or anything, I'd imagine them getting them pierced by someone slicing their ears with scissors or jabbing needles through them. So then I would always think about it. And I used to call my like anxiety dizziness, like I'd call it getting holes because I'd imagine holes in my skin.
Oh, my gosh.
And like it would
from
make
piercings?
Me, yeah.
Oh.
Like it came from that.
Yeah.
But it was like so when I got my ears pierced, in my mind, the metal from the earrings fused with my skin. And I was scared that my parents wouldn't be able to get out those first pair of earrings you were after.
Yeah.
So I fainted. That was the first time I remember fainting was when they were trying to take out the earring. And the reason they couldn't get it out is it was a screwed back.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was just because it fused to my skin.
Eek.
So literally I was like, it has fused to my skin and I fainted.
Yeah.
And like then and from then on. Like, anybody talking about piercings, or even now if I see gauged earrings.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not as bad as I used to be.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was so extreme. I would see holes in my skin. I would see, if I saw scissors, I'd think of them cutting my ears.
Eek.
This
really?
Is crazy. I was a friggin' lunatic.
Yeah. When did you realize, when did you realize that that was like a thing? You know, because as a kid, I feel like also we grew up in a time when everybody wasn't like, I have anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it was like. You just seemed like a weird or worried kid. Like, when did you figure out it was not just sort of like you being a little worried
weird.
About something? Yeah.
I realized it. I went to therapy when I was like 16.
Oh, cool.
But that's because I was having panic attacks about boys. And then that's when I realized that, like, I misplaced, like, all the panic I used to have about piercings and stuff, which still existed. And my ears are not pierced now. Like, they have been pierced.
Yeah.
But I haven't worn earrings since my prom. And even now, sometimes I'm like, oh, maybe I should just get them pierced because every acting job, they're always like, here's your earrings. And I'm like, I can't wear them.
Yeah.
But then even thinking about it, I'm like, no, I don't want It's just a weird triggery thing.
Yeah.
So, but when I had panic attacks in high school, that's when I went to like a therapist. Yeah. And they were like, you have anxiety disorder. And then eventually I went on Paxil for a short amount of time.
Yeah.
But that was like at the time, it was right before they figured out that teenagers shouldn't be on. And so it could, and it was, I had a bad reaction
what
to it.
What was it? What was your?
I would picture suicidal things.
Holy shit.
But in a very detached way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would just sort of be like, I could just throw myself in front of that car.
Yeah.
And then I was like, then I remember like reading an article and I was like, oh, this is why the teenagers shouldn't be on.
This is happening to me. This is, I'm
and
having
so
this
I went
experience.
Off of it. And then basically I've been able to manage it myself.
Yeah. How do you manage it? I'm so curious because I feel like a lot of people like who we've had on this podcast who experience anxiety have, a lot of people have chosen to manage it themselves or have like a little bit of medication when it like kind of on an as needed basis.
I have Xanax if I need it, but really I only take Xanax when I go to the doctor.
Yeah.
And even lately I went like it used to. So I faint at many places, but I faint at the gynecologist, the eye doctor, the dentist, the regular doctor. And so I would take a Xanax to go to like any of those appointments.
Yeah.
But then the biggest fear I had was giving birth, and I did do that. So getting through that.
Yeah.
Then since I.
What was that? I have so many questions. Yeah.
But
how,
since that, I haven't taken a Xanax since I got pregnant. So my son is almost three.
Yeah.
And so it's been almost like 4 years I haven't had. And I had like a prescription for it, but it was very old. But it was just knowing I had the pills made me feel safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you manage how else do you manage? Like, what are you?
I just tell myself that's my anxiety. It's not real.
Yeah.
And I say that's like your anxiety voice. So even if I start to get panicky about things, I'm like, that's not, this isn't your survival instinct. This is like an outside, it's like an interloper.
Yeah.
So I think that helped. Like, I've been able to really do that.
Yeah.
And then with fainting, if you squeeze the place between your finger and your thumb, and if you squeeze your butt, then it
like
sends
squeeze
blood
your butt together.
Yeah, it sends blood to your brain, and you don't faint. Like, it's like a physical thing. So I do physical things to not faint and drink a lot of water.
So explain the fainting deal a little more. So
there is a kind of anxiety that you faint when you have a panic attack or you feel like you're gonna faint. So I literally will get like dizzy.
Yeah,
and then like at the eye doctor when they dilated my cornea, they were like, don't touch your eye or you could scratch your cornea. And that was the worst thing to tell me.
Yes.
Then all I could think about was scratching it.
Yes.
So then I just, basically the world just, the black likeness comes in.
Yeah.
And I could just see like one single, it's like through a pinhole or whatever. I could see the world.
Yeah.
And then every, all the sounds like become one sound.
Yeah.
And then I faint. And so it's happened at, I mean, it happened at the dentist while on Xanax.
Oh, wow. Whoa.
And that was a big wake up call.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, now this doesn't even, like, I'm, and I feel high when I'm on Xanax. That's part of why I don't take
it. Yeah.
Like, I don't feel so, I don't feel just even. I feel literally like I'm on drugs.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to feel that way.
No.
You know? And it's really only these, like, weird circumstances.
Yeah. So is it, is something about being in a medical environment, like, why does that trigger your anxiety? Do you know?
I think it's connected to the whole piercing thing. And
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah.
But even I used to hear the word uterus, and it would make me feel dizzy.
Huh. Really?
I wrote a pilot in Ben's class, and it was, and the main character fainted at a sex ed demonstration.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I didn't do that exact thing, but I was this is just me. I faint at inappropriate places.
Yeah. Now, if you, let's say you took Fred, her son is Fred.
Yeah.
Let's say you took Fred to the doctor. Would you feel anxiety on his behalf, or is it just when you're the patient?
I'm much stronger now that I'm a mother.
Honestly. Yeah.
I mean, I seriously, like, with that uterus thing, it the piercing thing then translated to boys in high school in terms of my anxiety, and then translated to this fear of anything about birth. And it became, like, very intense. Like, honestly, like, my friend was a doula, and just the a paperwork of, like, just showing, like, anatomy and explaining what happens at birth. It was just out at our house, and I started to get dizzy.
Oh, my gosh.
Or people would say their birth stories, I'd start to get dizzy. So I was nervous I was going to faint.
Yeah.
Or have a panic attack when I was giving birth. And I sort of told my doctor, like, listen, I'm really scared that I'm going to faint. And she's like, first of all, you're not going to be able to because your, like, body takes over. Your mind can't. But she's like, but if you did, who cares? And I was like, oh.
But that's a good question, though. Like, does it affect? Like, what would happen? Like,
I would just faint, and then they would bring me back. Give me
a little salt or whatever.
Yeah. And she's like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, we don't care.
So what other ways has becoming a mother impacted you from how would you say you are as a mother that you wouldn't have anticipated, knowing that you're somebody who's had anxiety your whole life? Like, what ways have you surprised yourself in terms of, you know, being a capable, I don't know the words exactly, but you know what I mean?
I'm trying not, like, I basically, like, fight all my instincts to, like, my son the other day, we were at, like, a barbecue, and he kept climbing up this little wall and, like, my instincts are to be like, no, he's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I can't stop him from doing everything.
Yeah.
So I have to, like, so I feel like I am a lot more, like, I allow him to do things that might seem like they could be, they're not even dangerous. It's just like you have that moment in your mind where you're like, they shouldn't do that. But that's not real. That's anxiety. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It would be overprotective if I stopped him every time I thought to stop him.
Right.
You
know?
And so I think that I've just become more hardy and, like, more strong. And, like, I've had to be there when he gets shots, and I have had to be there when he had to go to the emergency room early on, and, like, you know, things like that. And like, I had to be there. I had to be the strong person.
Yeah.
Like, I can't be the
one.
Did
you faint? Or did you?
No, ever since I had him, like, for him, I don't. Yeah, it's, I mean, I haven't had a situation yet like break a bone, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like those kinds
yeah, sure,
of things.
Sure, sure.
But I still think there's something about it that your like animal part of you takes over.
Yeah.
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 So I'm sure that my anxiety could fight against the animal part.
Yes,
but,
of course.
Yeah. Yeah. But it seems like, you know, and I don't, it's not one to one, but, you know, I mean, getting to wear a piece of jewelry in your ear doesn't seem like it's necessarily a great enough reward to overcome that level of anxiety.
Yeah, right.
But to serve, you know, to become a mother does, you know, or to have
yeah.
a child
yeah.
does. That's like, you know,
yeah,
who cares
and I got
about
through the birth thing.
Yeah, exactly.
How
was my
was
biggest
that like?
You have to.
How was that? So as the thing that you were like most
pierced, yeah.
scared of, what was that like?
Well, it was just like, I honestly, when the doctor was like, who care if you faint, it released a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes anxiety is, I'm anxious that I'm going to be anxious.
Yes, yes.
So when
yes.
I think about when I have a dentist appointment, I have to really psych myself, like I have to stop worrying that I'm going to faint at the dentist because
yeah.
then I will faint
yeah.
at the dentist.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
it's like releasing the high stakes of
yeah.
the anxiety. So she released that. And then just like honestly when you're going through it, you aren't able, you're not your normal self.
Yeah.
Like you're, it's like your body's doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. So I was able to be kind of more relaxed. And then even I had like a bunch of hours that I was actually just in labor without pain medication.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually then there were certain like complications. And at that point I was like, okay, I couldn't take it anymore. But
yeah.
it wasn't about anxiety. It was
yeah,
just
yeah.
about like being exhausted
yeah.
and hurt.
Yeah, like
so,
just actual physical pain.
Yeah.
yeah.
But the pain part, I had about like 6 hours of my labor in very, very intense pain, and I don't have active memories of it.
Oh, that's
I only
crazy.
Remember a couple things. I remember saying, fuck a duck. And I remember telling my mom that I felt like I needed to fart a million farts. I was like, I just feel like I want to fart a million farts. But you're late when you are in labor, it actually, you feel it more in like your butt than
okay.
in
really
yeah it feels like you when even when you're pushing you're supposed to use the same muscles you use to poop
oh,
which
oh
is
yeah
why I think you poop,
poop right yeah
oh
but
that makes sense
you're supposed
yeah,
to use
yeah.
so you it's different and you feel contractions in your back more than
oh,
like
weird.
In your actual low back so I felt like I had a fart but really it's I had to like poop a baby
poop
out
a baby
yeah
out.
Yeah you had to fart a whole baby
and my mom
yeah.
was like
yeah.
just do it and I was like I can't that's the problem like when I remember those things
yeah.
and like and being like I fucking hate this like saying to my friend yeah. who's my doula who's a comedian as well
oh.
so but I just kept saying to her like this is a fucking nightmare and I remember that and like literally that's all I remember from 6 hours is saying those things
that's so
and
wild
how long was the total labor
I mean technically my water broke and then 30 something hours later I had Fred but I wasn't in pain the whole time
right.
pain was 6 hours and then when I got the epidural then it was still like 12 hours later but once I had the epidural seriously my brain I remember all of a sudden not feeling in pain and then having no clue how much time had gone by
really
yeah, yeah.
I had no I was
because of birth or because of the drugs
of, no it was once I was out of pain.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, like, that whole pain period
yeah.
didn't make active memories. Like, even in the moment, it was like being blackout drunk, but, like, from pain.
Right, right.
And so I was just like, wait, what? That was 6 hours? Like, that's crazy.
That's
like
crazy.
And it sounds, like, really bad, but because you don't make memories of it, and because your body's supposed to do it, it's,
yeah.
like, not the same as if, like, someone broke your legs.
Right,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
right.
Because
pain is usually, every other time, a signal that, like, yeah. something bad is happening.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
so weird that this is painful, but it's like a signal that your body is fulfilling its biological
yeah.
purpose.
And also, like my son was 11 days late, so I was like excited that I was
yeah.
gonna. It was gonna like this means it's like over.
Yeah, 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 yeah. yeah. did you have a lot of while you were pregnant? Did you have a lot of anxiety about just like anticipating the birth? Was that like a big part of pregnancy or was there so much other stuff going on that
yeah
it's like-
I was nervous about specifically I'm just being honest I know that's what you're supposed to do
yeah. Yeah.
it feels very silly or, I don't know being yeah. recorded I was really nervous about getting the dilation checked
how do they
stick their hand in, and like
oh
yeah
and just they're like hey,
yeah
yeah
yeah and like it just was my biggest anxiety point
yeah.
not the actual necessarily like I figured once I was in labor like it was moving but the checking was the thing that I was most focused on being anxiety. Like, yeah, my anxiety was all about that.
Huh.
And so even on my birth plan, they were like, it said, like, don't check her unless it's, like, absolutely necessary. Because that was the thing that made me feel crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so weird. It's just focused so on the weird things.
Yeah. That, I mean, I have the same experience. Like, I'm just fixating on, like, such weird little specific things.
Well, even in a birth education class, I nearly fainted when they just showed what the vacuum looks like if they had to vacuum your baby out. But it doesn't, if you saw it, you wouldn't faint.
Yeah.
Like,
wait, what do you mean vacuum? Like, would it be alive still?
Yeah.
You vacuum it out alive?
They, like, suction the kid's head and, like, help pull it out if the kid's stuck.
Oh. But like, just is that breech? Is that what that is?
No, breech is if they're upside down.
Oh, I was upside down.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
And then did they have to do a C-section?
No.
Or they flipped you?
They flipped me. I don't know how, but I was because upside down because
it's
when
do
your
it.
Face is smushed. Because I can't remember my face is smushed.
Yeah, yeah. It was very.
That's very painful, apparently, when they flip a baby.
For the mother?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It really looks effortless, but you know there's no chance that it is. Like, it has to be nothing but agony.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, well, it depends on the way they do it. But, yeah, I know sometimes it's like a doctor, like, just jamming their hand up there and twisting it around, which doesn't feel like a natural thing.
No, that sounds terrifying.
Unless you're a porn star.
Yeah. So, what's your relationship? What's the relationship between anxiety and, like, the work that you do? Because, like, for me, I feel like I have so it's like working in entertainment is, like, such a convenient little pocket for anxiety because it's like so much, like, deals with uncertainty and, like, am I good and did I blow everything in a 2 minute experience that, like, could lead to me getting a job or not? Like, what's your experience been like? Anxiety as an actor.
I sometimes have anxiety as an actor, but I think it manifests for me more in, like, the physical stuff.
That's interesting.
But I will, if I fixate on something, I mean, it can happen in interactions. Like, I'll have anxiety about if people like me or, you know, thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I've been able to put it aside. I think the last, like, maybe 10 years, it's like I almost stopped believing I was going to get anything. So I don't have that feeling that like it was mine to have or something. Like, I've continued.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I stopped, like, I don't know. I just disconnected from it because, and like, in some ways, I think some people can get, like, bitter and cynical.
Yeah,
and somehow I've, like, not done that so much. But it's more just, like, going in, doing it, and then walking out and being like, well, I'm not going to get it anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
The odds
are,
I think about probability a lot.
Yeah.
So, like, I like stats and, like, and really I think about probability. So I'm like, I know that you're, like, somewhere I heard that you get 1 out of 40 auditions, you get a job. And so that then releases me from the stakes.
Yeah.
I think releasing the stakes
is how
I get out of the anxiety.
That's such a useful.
It might not even be true, but that's what I heard a long time ago. Yeah. And I was like, okay, 1 out of 40.
Yeah.
So it could be the one liner. Or it could be, you know, the big job. But.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But it's just that 1 out of 40. Yeah, well, which is true. I find,
good thing I've completed 39 duds in a row. It's time, baby. I'm going to get my mom on the horn.
Yeah, yeah. Tell her before the 40th
break,
audition.
Yeah. How'd you feel at the Glow audition?
Glow audition, I felt great. But it was because I'm on the show with Kimmy Gatewood, and her and I have been doing comedy together for 10 years. And we had to do a lot of improv in the audition. We came up with our own tag team characters. Like, did
so you auditioned together and everything.
We auditioned together. They wanted, like, comedy duos, or they just paired funny people.
Yeah.
But we really prepared. We wrote a lot of stuff ahead of time, and I came in and did it. So the auditions themselves, I felt awesome. The training is where the anxiety came in a little bit because of... It's physical.
Oh, of course. Well, I didn't even
learning how to wrestle.
Learning how to wrestle at, you know, I mean, at any adult age, that's intimidating. I mean, that's like a brand new thing.
Yeah, in your late 30s,
like,
it's pretty weird to do that.
Yeah. I mean, and you guys take, like, real bumps. Like, I mean, that was one of the things that I found most fascinating about watching it was just that, like, I mean, because I watched wrestling during that era and I also watched wrestling more recently and wrestling has become considerably more intense in recent years. And you guys were doing the considerably intense version of it, like things that you wouldn't have seen Hulk Hogan do or whatever, like a lot of aerial stuff. Like a lot
yeah,
of
it's
like
a lot more aerial
taking
now.
Hits.
Yeah, back then it there was especially on Glow. They did take some hits, but there was a lot of hair pulling and punches and things like that. But we took a lot of bumps, and so not only was I like intimidated by just learning how to wrestle, also you know that like you're kind of like they're writing based on what we can do. So you're sort of saying like basically not you don't have to be amazing at it, but just like if you can do this move, like they'll write that in for you.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So there was a lot of stakes wrapped up in me being good at wrestling.
I didn't even think
and
of that.
That was a little bit scary.
Sure.
Yeah.
And just taking a bump. I'd say the scariest thing was like learning how to take a bump, which is just throwing yourself in the air and landing on your back, is terrifying because you can't even see what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you could get whiplash, so all of our necks would hurt and stuff in the beginning. And I feel like wrestling, like learning how to wrestle, actually wrestling, doing it for the show, like is like to me is like almost like when I gave birth, like in terms of becoming now this extra confident, like getting over some big fear. Like now I feel so much more steady in myself, like in my body, confident, like, and I am excited. Like if we have a season two, like I can't wait to do bigger moves and the thrill of doing it.
Yeah.
It was like thrilling. And the fact that I could do it.
Yeah.
Like I did this one thing where I had to do a 3-quarter flip and land on my back. And I didn't think I could do it. When I saw other people, I was like, there's not a chance that I'm going to be able to do it. And then when I did it, I felt so, like, great.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, conquering that, like, and not letting my anxiety hold you back, because that's what holds people back, why they can't do the moves.
Yeah.
Like, if you're tensing up, you can't land properly.
Oh.
You have to be relaxed.
Yeah.
Which is the same as birth.
Right.
So I equate the two, and I feel like this was a new level of me, like, coming out of that anxiety, which makes me it's like, even if you can't have the opportunity to wrestle, but learning a new physical skill, I think which is like confidence building and gets you out of your head.
Yeah.
You know,
so if you haven't seen the show, the cast is 95% female, right? Is that accurate?
Yeah,
I mean, it's basically there's
14 women and
two guys. Yeah,
yeah,
right. So, how much did that help with diminishing the anxiety, not having a bunch of dopey bros around?
I mean, I'm used to working in like a male environment from doing comedy for so long, where you're the only like female on a Herald team for years. But it was awesome. The cool thing was like all 14 of us. Only one person in the cast was a wrestler beforehand.
Oh, cool.
And everyone else was just an actress. And that's kind of the original Glow. It was like mostly actors and models.
Yeah.
So it was just learning it all together. And it was great. But my comedy partner, Kimmy, was the best out of everyone.
Really?
Really?
She would get everything right away. And it took me, like, I always am like, she was the best, I was the worst. And so then I would be like, oh my God, I'm going to hold us back from getting, like, big fights.
Oh.
Like, it's going to be me. It's going to be my fault. Like, I'm going to fail.
Oh, yeah.
And luckily, I cut on. It. You know, I wasn't really that bad, but it took me probably like an extra week to get to where she was the first time she tried it all.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. But being in this female, I mean, the female environment of it was incredible. But in some ways, though, you can see that you all are, like, doing it. And so if people are catching on faster, it's, like, almost more nerve-wracking
for
women. Or that some of them were, like, people I looked up to, you know.
Yeah.
You want to be, like, impressing people.
Yeah.
It's just funny to be like, oh, I want them to think I'm a good wrestler.
You know, it didn't occur to me at all that, like, you, like, the stakes of getting good at wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, it makes, that there was so much riding on you getting, like, kind of good at wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could see, like, like from episode 1 to 10, like we have big matches in 7 and 10, but I can even see myself in the background of, we had 4 weeks of wrestling before we started shooting, and then we'd wrestle on our days off. And I was like, oh, I am significantly better by the end. Like even just background stuff, I can see that I'm more like just trying to do it, but like not as good as I was. You know, the matches are all choreographed, whereas in the background, you're just making it up. But, I did get good at it. Like now I'm like, okay.
Have you done it at all, like, not like after you guys wrapped?
No, I mean, I don't want to get hurt. I basically like my knees hurt after shooting, so I would go to physical therapy also on my days off. And so I've just been doing Pilates, though. I've been going to Pilates like several days a week so that if there only, I mean, there's benefits outside of just wrestling.
Sure.
But I'm like, hopefully then I'll have like a couple abs to come into season two with. Not even for the looks of it.
No, just to like that's
under
useful.
My fat. I'll still eat craft services. I gained 5 pounds when we were shooting. That's so much food.
5 pounds of muscle.
Oh, no. They're like Nutella Rice Krispie treats. Like, come on.
Which are entirely made of muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did anyone get actually like injured during the wrestling parts?
Only one. It was like a minor thing that one of the girls like sprained her ankle on the second to last day of shooting. But it was like when we all go in the ring at the end, and it wasn't a choreographed thing. It was like they were just like, everybody go in, and like it's like a rumble, you know?
Yeah.
And someone fell on fell on another, like threw, like accidentally fell on someone, and so her ankle was sprained. But I had an injury that was not wrestling.
Oh, really?
We roller skated for a birthday party, and you could see the fall. Yes. But I actually like fractured my tailbone in that fall.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I knocked two girls out with me, and they're okay. But I landed right on my tailbone, and so then the rest of the day I just roller skated with like an ice pack on my butt, and then it's my tailbone still hurts.
Oh no!
We shot that in like October.
Because of fracture, because what do you can't really do anything.
You can't do anything.
Yeah.
So it's okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm only worried about it because I'm like, oh, I don't want it to hurt when I start wrestling again. I am a wrestler now.
That's so cool.
That's who you are. It's not just what you do, it's who you are.
Yeah, yeah, it's who I am.
Me too. I'm a wrestler too.
Yeah. Nice.
Madeline, are you a wrestler?
Yeah.
I'll teach you guys some moves.
Yeah, please do.
It looks so fun. It really is fun. How are you a person who gets injured a lot in general, like outside of your wrestling TV show? Yeah.
Yeah, like I had about a year ago, I strained my calf muscle. So going into training, I had that. And then like, I just have like little sorenesses, you know, that come up. But there'll always be some weird, stupid thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not, and also.
Nothing major.
Do you have you had any big experiences with illness? Like, is your anxiety at all matched by actual experiences with, like.
No, I haven't had major illnesses. I mean, I had like chronic migraines when I was younger, but that also leads to fainting because I would have migraines a lot when I was in junior high and high school, and then I would faint from them too, but that also might be like nerves from the pain of it. Like after college, I sort of like grew out of that. Nothing like truly, you know, no chronic illnesses throughout.
No, it's interesting because neither have I. Like, I am like a hypochondriac and I'm so worried a thing is going to kill me. And I often think that that's linked to the fact that I've never actually, what you imagine a thing is going to be is maybe so much worse, or even not so much worse, but so much like just activating something makes it real rather than like just rather than an anxiety.
Well,
like,
if it was real, you'd have to deal with it. Yeah. You just have to deal with it. You it's just to, the same as like if my kid gets sick. Like there's been one time we took him to the emergency room. We didn't really need to do it. Yeah. But it was like my anxiety took over enough that I was like, oh, I think he's having a hard time breathing. We got to go.
Yeah.
But I think it would be the same for yourself. But you'd have to like deal with it in a real way.
Yeah.
You know, so it'd be different.
I'm like very anxious on a day-to-day basis, but I'm very good in a crisis. Like when it's like when an actual thing happens, it's like
you can get grounded.
Yeah, well, it's just I think just more evidence of the fact that it's like not real. It's they're just so separate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good in both.
Good every day, good in a crisis.
Yeah, just all around, just pretty good at stuff. I'd probably be a good wrestler.
I probably would be a good wrestler,
actually. I would be a bad wrestler. But like, I would like walk into a room and people would be like, oh, yeah, that's a wrestler. Like, I look like what a wrestler looks like. But no, I don't think I'd be actually good at it. And I'm not good, actually, in situations where you think there's cause for panic or when there's actual panic, like neither situation I'm particularly good at.
Wait, really? Are you not good in a panic situation?
I get irritated with other people for being panicked. I don't know why, but I do. Yeah. Like it feels, there's something about, yeah, I don't know. I think there's something about like, if I believe that there's cause for anxiety, yeah, then I'm probably like pretty good at taming it. But no, if I think that like people are being
like overreacting.
Yeah, if I think people are overreacting and that it's causing other people to overreact. Like, yeah, you know, like when you're on the airplane and like there's one person who sort of creates a panic.
Yeah.
I get irritated in those situations when I think that other people are causing anxiety for others. But no, like if someone I'm close to, like if the person that I was sitting with was on the verge of having that moment of panic, I'd be good in that situation.
Yeah.
I'd be like, just pow.
Yeah, you just whack them.
Yeah, I just whack them.
Well, something physical, that's perfect.
Yeah, because I'm a good wrestler.
Well, you'd have to work with them. Like, if you were going to slap them in a wrestling way, you'd have to hit them, but not in a way that hurts, and then they have to just sell the pain, which would then take them out of their panic attack.
This is true. One of the things I really liked watching, this has nothing to do with our podcast, really, but one of the things in the show, like, pertaining to the wrestling that I really liked was those moments when we would get close on the referee, and we would hear the way the referee is talking, because you would see it on regular wrestling, and you would just assume that they were acting out the part of like, I'm mad at you because you did this illegal thing, but know that they were like, all right, so now you're gonna do this move into that move into this thing, are you okay doing that into this? It's like, wow, that's like just sort of seeing the way that everyone was integral in
they're all part of the story.
Yeah, and not just the story, but like in preventing others from getting injured, that like everyone was sort of communicating for the purpose of like this thing being safe. And then like I would watch it and I would be reminded of like just how easy it would be for traffic to go totally awry, but for the fact that like we're sort of non-verbally communicating with one another. And then just like watching this thing in which like there's this verbal communication that goes on between like these performers, and everyone is like a performer together, and then like it all sort of like adds up to this thing that like, for, you know, until I was like, I was pretty old before I realized that wrestling wasn't real. And that's the reason for it, is that everyone is like performing together in a way that looks in the same way that a movie looks like people interacting in real life, other than the fact that you know that wrestling was that same way. Yeah. It was like very cool to sort of be
like
behind the curtain that way.
Cirque du Soleil, like, you know that like there's wires and that they've done this stuff a million times, but there's a sense of danger, but they actually are performing this athletic feat.
Yeah.
And it's the same with wrestling. And with us, our matches were completely choreographed and the matches that they do are not. They're like more improvised.
Really?
So they know the beginning and the end. They know who's going to win.
Yeah.
And maybe they might say, oh, you know what? I'm going to hit you with six chairs today. But, but like the actual movements are very intuitive. So you can tell if I grab you and put your head in my arm like a headlock, then there's a couple things you can do. Like, it depends on where we are in the match. If you're going to win or lose, like, you can pull me off and get me into a hammerlock, or we could do like reversals.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's like all sorts of things, but it's like, it's much more improvised than you think it is when you realize it's fake. But the most important thing is that you're all working together and making it safe.
And that you have kind of the same vocabulary with each other, right?
So in wrestling school, they kind of like all learn the same stuff, and they learn how, just like we learn how to improvise
with
people. And it, you know, it's like you learn those cues and like what to look out for, and then also like the structure of a match, of like if someone's gonna win, they have to like lose at a certain point, and then it builds back up. Like,
really does make sense that way, like that the initial learning of it would be like as simple as just yes anding. Like, I'm going to do this move, and then you're going to yes and it by, you know, countering with this thing, and then, but then over a period of time, you would learn, similar to when you watch, you know, very proficient improvisers, that there are this thing that I'm going to do will lead to three different possibilities, and just sort of like you said, based on knowing when within the story we are, similar like in the class, like if we're in the first act, we're introducing, if we're in the second act, we're like sort of existing, if we're in the third act, we're resolving, that it would essentially be that same way with the moves, that like this move could lead to a pin, or it could lead to a progression, or it could lead to like the introduction of a series of things, that it all basically is just storytelling. And then you come up with like one of the things I always like to say in the class, I don't know if I always said it in yours, but like was that 75% of telling a story is just telling a story, and 25% of it is the medium in which you're telling that story, and that's like 75% of it is that this is how stories get told. world and 25% of it's wrestling. And that's a very cool new way to like learn to tell stories. And from you know, sort of watching it, and you know, I started watching because you were on the show, and then I like kept watching for because it really is a great show. And if anyone out there is not familiar with GLOW, original Netflix series, down all 10 episodes this weekend. It's a very brisk watch. But yeah, I thought that was I always think it's really cool when you can see the ways that you know how to tell stories in the ways that others are telling stories. It's sort of, you can see the value in you know, different ways of communicating. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I'm kind of fascinated with people who've decided to become professional wrestlers.
Yeah,
and I've now met a couple people who wanted to be professional wrestlers and then like because of injuries or something left and now do comedy.
Oh yeah,
interesting.
It's like, but it makes sense, and especially if you're like a heel, which is the bad guy.
Yeah,
then you're already doing comedy.
Yeah,
like doing it. Like that is comedy. Like it's. And so you get to be, I don't know, I could see why people do it.
Yeah.
I don't think I would want to be a real, like, do it outside of the safety of the GLOW ring.
Sure, sure.
People, like, really care about you being safe. They care about it in wrestling, but they also pride themselves a little more on, like, being able to work through pain.
But
I've gone to, like, some independent wrestling, like, matches.
Oh, cool.
It's, you know, it's just like this. It's like there's the bigger theater experiences for comedy, and then there's these tiny little places, and there's the equivalent of like the clubhouse in wrestling, which is just funny.
So, yeah.
Where the ceilings are so low that they can't even stand on the top rope.
Really?
They have to duck.
I love it.
Yeah, but it's like still incredible, and they work within the, it's cool.
Oh, that's really cool.
You work on the stage you got.
Yeah. Should we play a game?
Let's play this game. So what we're going to do is I'm going to give you a little quiz.
Okay.
To see, based on, Rebecca had told us coming into this that she had a little history with anxiety. So I wanted to see just how long you would last in a zombie apocalypse.
Oh, I'm dead before it. Like,
well, what do you think is going to be the answer? I took the quiz myself. Yeah. And
how long?
I would survive a year. Ooh. And that was longer than I thought I would survive.
I think an hour.
You think you'll survive an hour?
Yeah.
Madeline, how long do you think you would survive?
3 months.
3 months? Okay.
Yeah.
You were hard, Madeline. You were hard for me to like. You were hard for me to. I sort of deliberated on this for you at least, and thought like that if you got past the point of sheer terror, you would maybe be the president. You'd be maybe the president of the post-apocalyptic world. But having
America.
Been at having been at Knott's Scary Farm with you, while danger was present and imminent, you would be the loudest screamer.
I'm
of all.
Very easily startled. I am tremendously easily startled.
All those zombies would be like, let's just go to the screamer.
That's
someone.
But
we
if you
eat.
Survived that, when it got to the point where like we were starting to organize, you know, we were going to create a new society for ourselves. Yeah. I think you'd be sort of crucial to the operation.
I'd be able to fight zombies as long as they're working with me so that we're both safe.
You can yes and a zombie for sure. Okay, so when I find these quizzes, one of the things that interests me is to find a quiz where I don't understand why they're asking certain questions,
because
then it doesn't seem so obvious. So right off the bat, they asked a question that seemed strange to me.
Okay.
So we're gonna determine how long would you survive in the zombie apocalypse?
If it's longer than an hour.
Then you did it. what is your favorite color?
Oh.
Eggshell white, orange, blue, red, pink, or black. And so basically, you know, I'm gonna ask you a bunch of questions, and in all likelihood, your favorite is not going to be in any of these options. So of these options, which is your favorite color?
Blue.
Okay.
Which is not my actual favorite.
What is your actual favorite?
Well, I should have said pink because fuchsia and teal, those are my two favorites.
Oh, yeah.
But I felt sort of like a wimp to say pink.
Yeah, well, I have the same thought. I know. I love pink and I hardly say it.
Yeah, it's because we live in a sexist society where having female attributes is a negative thing. Okay.
Yeah, you got it. That's true.
I'm gonna stay out of this one. Okay, this one off your newfound wrestling expertise. How would you fare in a fight? A, does hiding count? B, I'm a lover, not a fighter. C, why can't we be friends? D, I could hold my own. E, I fight with my words. Or F, are weapons allowed? I'm a lover.
None
not
of those are really straightforward.
No, they're all yeah. There wasn't a symbol as blue or pink.
No, also there's no option to just fight with your body. You either with your words or
weapons.
Well,
I think I could hold my own. I think when I get angry, at least I talk a big game that I would like cut people and beat them all up. So okay.
Have you
maybe
ever been
I would
in a fight?
Do it. Not in a real fight, but I have gotten close where I have gone up to people and been like, I'm gonna fuck kick your ass, you know, like in high school.
Yeah.
And then when people just randomly, like, you know, shout things out at you on the street, I'll get in their face.
That's cool. Yeah.
But
I
haven't had to follow through, thankfully. Yeah.
Well, but you're scary enough that you don't have to. That's
And I might have two abs now from Pilates. So.
Yeah. That's true. So we're going to go with I could hold my own?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
This is not me answering this. It's like some other person.
How do you feel about relationships? They suck. Do cats count? No one likes me.
No one.
I'm independent. I love my significant other. They're okay if you really like someone.
I love my significant other.
Okay. But otherwise, you're not so crazy about them?
What?
There's no option, like I'm a normal social human being.
I like them. Yeah, there's no ones that say I love people.
Just like
I have a lot of friends. Yeah.
There wasn't?
It's like I love animals or I love my significant other.
This one's sort of okay. Who are you closest to? Dad? Cats get a lot of like play in this quiz.
Yeah.
Dad, my cat, friends, significant other, or mom?
I have to say my significant other.
Okay.
We've been married 10 years. We've been together a long time.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Be hurt
if I... More than your dad?
more than my dad.
Like, weird.
What word best describes you? Cunning?
Cunning.
Scared?
Scared.
Loyal? Happy? Worry-free? Or intelligent?
Loyal.
Loyal, okay.
That's a good one.
Cunning. I would love to be a... Who says, like, cunning?
I don't know what I said in that one. I can't remember what I went with that one. Who is your idol of these people? I feel like I really have to preface this one with of
Dad,
these people.
Dad, your cat.
Cunning.
Cunning.
What's that doing there?
Lady Gaga. Oprah Winfrey. What's interesting is that the order of these has changed since I did it.
Oh, weird. Yeah, ooh, they're really trying to keep you on your toes.
Colin Powell.
Okay.
Lil Wayne.
What?
So your options are Lady Gaga, Oprah Winfrey, Colin Powell, Lil Wayne, Daryl from The Walking Dead, or my parents. Not your parents, my parents. So your parents. I went with Oprah. Because she's richest.
I don't know why my instinct is to say Colin Powell.
Right, let's do Colin Powell.
Yeah, that's a good instinct.
You know,
yeah.
He's like powerful.
These questions are weird. I think you got to go with your instinct on this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? This one has a typo. What is your ideal first date? Or as written here, what your ideal first date? bowling? Dinner and a movie? At a party? None. Strange placement for none. Hiking or coffee?
None.
Hiking.
Hiking. Yeah, I want to hiking,
like
too.
Like an easy hike, though.
Yeah, yeah. Not,
just like
no,
a
nothing
flat,
where you're like, flat how hike. Strong are you? Yeah. Yeah.
Right, right. Okay. Of this list, what item could you not live without? A good book, my significant other, Nutella. That one feels sexist, right? Like, doesn't having Nutella on the list feel sexist?
Nutella.
Cell phone. Pocket knife or my friends.
I just the choice between pocket knife and my friends.
And Nutella.
Who was picking Nutella?
I think a zombie made this quiz out of the scraps of humanity he was able to like piece together from what
God.
He found.
Well, I'm going to go with my phone.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Because at least I could, like, use GPS.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, then you can be in touch with your friends. You don't have to have
significant
them.
Other.
You can call yourself. You can FaceTime yourself.
Order Nutella
you
on Instacart.
Just over here texting my cat.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you like to do on your weekends? I don't even remember last weekend. 1, 2, work out. 3, sleep. 4, study. 5,
study?
Camp.
Study.
Or 6,
camp.
Work.
Oh, in my mind, camp was like summer camp.
Yeah.
Wait, 6,
study.
Work?
Study.
Was study.
Yeah. Work, camp, study, sleep.
Also, like, you could either sleep or work out. Yeah. Like, this person's doing one of these things for a whole 48 hours.
I would say sleep. I would sleep for 48 hours at this point.
I love to sleep.
But they didn't even say drink.
No. I guess I don't remember last weekend.
Oh,
was
right.
Drink?
Yeah, yeah.
But sleep, though, still. Yeah. I would choose sleep over everything. Yeah.
Sleep's good.
Yeah, which is really death.
Yeah, 48
just
hours.
Just like, temporarily
yeah, it's a coma at the very least. What is your style? Jeans and a t-shirt? This is all very important to the apocalypse.
Like a 17 magazine, like
study.
Jeans and a t-shirt, preppy, something comfortable, hipster. Is it business casual? Like someone chooses that as their
business
casual, or whatever is in my closet.
What you liked.
I was like, whatever is my closet. Is that's what your style is? Well, the things that are in your closet.
These are so much not. There's no dichotomy between so many of these answers.
I have to say whatever's in my closet.
Okay.
Because I don't think I'm not a hipster, but I'm also not like totally comfortable all the time.
No.
I feel like we already know the answer to this one.
Oh, jeez Louise.
If you could live in any of the following states, which would it be?
Oh, you're going to know.
Yeah.
Alabama, California, Colorado, Florida, Texas, or Alaska?
California.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. California.
You're doing it.
Yeah.
You're
doing it, yeah.
Also, Colorado is the only one of... The only
Those
other option
that
isn't
like,
yeah.
But the funny thing is, if you were in like Alabama taking this test, you probably would say California.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
California is the right answer.
Yeah, California is the
California
correct
is
answer.
Everyone's aspirational.
Everyone's right answer,
like,
yeah. Maybe like Aspen, you know, for my summer house.
Yeah.
I feel like Alabama's way more likely to have the zombie apocalypse than California is.
Yeah. You're right.
It's a bad place.
California's Why? The right answer.
I don't know. I just associate when I think about it. The reason that I came up with this in my head, I guess we'll cut this part because it'll play into the intro that we do is how I was just my response. I started looking this thing up after you know hearing these like varying different responses from like the two different parties to like 4th of July and like you would see those memes that would be like these are the United States and it would be just the ones that had voted for Hillary or these are the United States just the ones and just thinking about how like what we know about zombies obviously zombies it's a bullshit term but they like eat your brains as I was paying attention to all of these like conversations being started like these political conversations over like the 4th of July weekend it like occurred to me that like that sort of was what it felt like that like these morons were eating our brains like you would try to respond with something that felt rational and they would just be like cuck faggot and then like it's like you're just we're coming up with good thoughts and you're just eating them one by one
they feel the same way about us
so my feeling was that like Alabama was where there were all the people who were eating our brains were and then all my friends that are from Alabama seem to speak so negatively about it.
Yeah.
But anyway, what's your favorite food in the apocalypse? This is weird. Weird
first
question.
Say pizza if pizza's on there.
Of course, it's not on here. That would make sense. I don't believe in food is the first one.
This is for models only. Yeah,
what I like is that like there's no pizza on here, but the next two are ramen and pasta, as if ramen isn't a pasta.
They're not just part of the same.
It's for college kids.
Noodles. Ramen or pasta.
It's ramen or pasta. Don't believe in food at all. Cake, canned soup.
What is your favorite food? Canned soup?
Fresh fruit.
Ramen, pasta.
Canned soup or fresh fruit?
Fresh fruit.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's the good answer here.
I might pick canned soup.
Yeah, that does seem like something you would do.
I love canned soup.
I'll just answer this. Well, actually, I don't know how you would answer. Like, where do you live? Country, suburbs, or big city? Obviously, we live in Los Angeles, a big city, but like...
Suburbs, I think.
Yeah, I think of the suburbs, too.
Yeah.
If a zombie apocalypse broke out, what would you do first? Find a safe house, find food, find your friends / family, cry, steal from others, or hide?
Oh, steal from others, sure.
Find my friends' family.
Yeah.
Slash. Yeah.
Yes, you'd slash your friends and family.
Yeah, yeah.
Find your
steal
significant
from them.
Other.
Find. Steal from them.
Yeah.
I don't remember this being so long. Hopefully it'll end soon. How long could you go without a shower? I shower 2 times a day, 1 day, 1 week, or who needs showers?
I love that the number of options also varies so much between questions.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if it's the apocalypse, then I wouldn't need to take a shower much. Okay. But, like, no, I want to say a month.
Okay.
That's one of them, right?
No. 1 day, 1 week, okay. 2 times a day, or no showers.
A week.
Week, that's what I went with, too.
Yeah. Sometimes that's how it works
happen.
In my real
yeah.
life. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
Or wash your hair. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You don't always have to wash your hair.
You
made it 6 whole months.
I made it 6 months?
Yeah, you made it 6 months.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah, good work. Good work.
I don't know how many more hours 6 months is than one, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
I'll never know.
No, there's no way to find out. Yeah. It's just one of those things you just wonder about.
All right.
Yeah, I'm a year, you're 6 months. I think we're a little short on time. Madeline, we could do yours in the...
Yeah,
the
I can take it and even let you know next episode.
Okay, sounds good.
Whoa. Yeah, yeah.
Wow, cliffhanger.
Yeah, cliffhanger. So if you want to know if I'll survive in the zombie apocalypse,
hopefully there's
tune
not
in next
an
time.
Apocalypse between yeah. now
yeah, yeah.
and the time you if record the next episode.
We'll still definitely be recording this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And we'll just know.
Yeah,
Madeline's already dead.
Yeah,
no, you'd live. Rebecca, anything that you want to plug before we wrap it up?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter yeah. at Hello Rebecca, and it's Rebecca with 2 K's.
Nice.
And yeah, and also on Facebook, same thing.
Yeah.
So just like Hello Rebecca, look it up, follow, start liking things. Yeah.
Get involved.
Yeah. And watch Glow this weekend.
Yeah,
yeah, watch
yeah.
Glow this weekend. If you're in LA, I have a Apple Sisters show at UCB Sunset.
Oh, fun.
July 31st.
Okay, nice.
At 8:30 p.m.
Ooh,
so
that's
come
great.
See it. I was writing it today with
nice.
The gals.
Great. Sounds great. So good. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks so much,
thanks,
Rebecca.
Thanks, guys.
Goodbye.
Bye. That was
it's
great.
So hard to end.
Thanks.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Definitely Dying.
Until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.